live from the NBC News radio broadcasting studios of KCAA, 1050 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.5 FM, located in beautiful, sunny California, which it is today, and we're happy about it, and in parallel with Turf's Upper Radio Studio in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And if you miss any part of this show, you can go to any one of our 14 different medias to hear us, but you can also hear more if you tune into Turf's Up Radio every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. to listen. Simply download the Turf's Up Radio app or visit turfsupradio.com. And remember, Turf's Up Radio is your industry, your station, and everything about landscaping and irrigation and everything. Water, sun, turtles.
The moon, the stars.
The universe. Anyway, I'm Rob Starr along with Chris Davies. And today we're going to have a nice training show for you. We're very blessed today to have Amanda Arellano. She's from Well Done. And the total real name of the company is
IPS Well Done.
Yeah. I know they always have another name to it. I don't want to mess them up because they're one of our great sponsors. We advertise their eco product, right. So we like that. We did a funny thing when we did the commercial. We had an announcer, a real professional guy, do it, and he thought it was ECO. So we had to do it twice because we didn't know that you guys called it eco and we called it ECO. So anyway, we did that. But a couple things happening that we need to make a couple announcements around what's happening. And first coming up is the Irrigation Association event.
Yeah, so let's help those guys out at the IA. You know, there's really nothing better than taking a little time during the winter to kind of recharge and plan for next year. So irrigation professionals can do just that at the 2019 Irrigation Show and Education Week. It's an event held December 2nd through the 6th, and it's in Las Vegas, right? We're co-locating this year with the National Groundwater Association and the American Rainwater Catchment Systems Association. This year's event will gather almost 10,000 people, industry professionals, for a week filled with all the education, network, technology, and all the other things you need to fuel your business. You can learn more at www.irrigation.org. Hope to see you guys out there in Las Vegas.
We'll see what I see.
All right, guys, are you ready? Here we go.
Just about, but you know, there's going to be a lot of people there. And
10,000 people.
And guess what we're going to be doing there?
We're going to be doing the radio show live on the show floor.
That's right. So people can come by and talk to us of any company. Our competitor? Maybe not. But our competitors are good. And in fact, it's great that we have competitors so we can always strive to be better than the competitors. So I think good competition is good. But we're going to have lots of people coming down, different companies. Well Done will be there as well. And some of our other sponsors. But speaking of sponsors, I want to talk about sports. What's your favorite sport?
It's definitely basketball.
What's yours, Amanda?
Basketball and football both.
Okay, and basketball. So we have a treat. I just want to let everybody know we're going to be getting floor seats. Floor seats. No, not four. Two floor seats. Got to be careful how we say that, Chris.
Two floor seats.
That's right. And it's to see the Agua Caliente Clippers, which is the farm team of the L.A. Clippers.
That's right.
And so the people that you see at that game eventually are going to go to the big leagues, and they're going to play on the Clippers. So like Kawhi Leonard and all those other guys,
right. They
all came from here. And they're actually from Riverside.
Yep, so two great tickets, right? Right courtside.
Yep, you can feel the sweat. You can feel them fall in your lap and throw the ball at you. And I don't know what else. Or you can throw your beer at them, Chris, or whatever you want to do. And then you'll get ejected and have to bail you out, but that's okay. But anyway, they're great sponsors, and we're going to be giving those tickets away to all home games. And so hope our listeners will have a little thing where they call in, and maybe they'll be the first caller or the 10th caller. We'll have to decide that.
And win the tickets.
Yeah, we're supposed to get the tickets this week, so the season starts now.
Yeah, season starts now. So maybe you'll see a celebrity there.
I hope so. Well, we'll be there.
That's what I said.
Yeah, but we'll be in the cheap seats because we have to give the good tickets to the people who win the thing. So anyway, we're going to bring Amanda Arellano on, and she's going to talk about the biggest things and problems that people have when they're putting irrigation piping in, and especially what I hate is when you got to fix the pipe when it's broken. Because, you know, you have this thing that's this lateral line that could be 50 feet long, and you got to break and you got to cut it and you dig 6 inches on each side and then you try to stick another piece of pipe in and you got to keep digging deeper and further back so you can manipulate the thing and then they sell this little thing that you can put on the pipe and then stretch it out. That's pretty cool. But anyway, the biggest problem people have is how to glue this stuff together.
We'll find out a lot about that, I think. And for those listeners who also have access to the internet.
Yes, please go to kcaaradio.com, and you can actually watch this and see it live. We do broadcast live from NBC here, and that'll be good. And this is also saved as a podcast, but they also save the video, correct? Our engineer is shaking his head yes, and he signed up to it. So if he doesn't, we know where he lives. We'll give his home address and all of that to do that. So I'd like to introduce Amanda Ariana Grabowski. And Amanda, welcome to the show. You've been here before, but we welcome you back.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it. And nice meeting you, Chris, as well.
As you.
For sure. There's a couple of things I could really first, before we start. You were talking about the ECO versus ECO.
Uh-huh.
That was a big thing, actually. People were saying ECHO as well, because it has the ECO on it. So even at work, they had a big thing on their meeting. Said, guess what? It's called ECO.
Yeah, but when your marketing department just sends us the words, we didn't know. We gave it to the announcer, and he goes, ECO, this? And then we get a phone call, hey, it's not what it is. And we fixed it.
Yeah.
And so we're very happy about that. So, and you're great sponsors, and we love you for the last 5 years. So we're very proud to be associated with your company.
And we love sponsoring the Water Zone.
Great.
It's a wonderful show, and it's for a wonderful, of course, cause for, of course, California itself, right?
Not only for professionals, but anybody can buy this stuff, and it's the best that's out there. And so I'll turn it over to you,
sure.
So you can do the whole thing.
And here's another thing as well. You called it gluing. Such thing as a gluing.
Well,
it's soft and cementing. So when people say glue, I'm like, oh, hold on, what glue? There's no cow in the front of these things, is there? Not that I saw, anyway.
Well, I knew a guy who did that. I knew a guy who used the glue, and then he was talking like this because he got it on his nose.
Pretty much, right? So anyway, yes, my name is Amanda Ariana, and I am from Weldon's Technical Division. I don't know, can anybody see this or no?
Yes, everybody can see it.
Wonderful. I don't know, best thing to do if you guys have a camera. It's always best to take a screenshot, of course, of the screen in case you guys see something up there that you guys – because there's actually quite a few screens on here that I could definitely say definitely worth taking pictures of in case you want to get back. We do have a free training program that we actually come out and we come to your place of work, your company, or come out to your job site even, and we do B31.3 training, and this ASME B31.3, which is a specification for, of course, the step-by-step procedures. It's also ASTM D2855 steps. We test...
And that's for the professionals to know. But also, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I should have done this first.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give some call-in numbers in case somebody has a question, because I know Chris and I will probably have lots of questions.
Sure.
So anybody listening who wants to ask Amanda anything, so it's 888-909-1050. Or if you're local to Southern California, it's 909-792-5222. And she's willing to take the calls and answer any technical or installation problems because she knows what she's doing.
For sure. Thank you very much. Really first, what I want to do before we start, I want to give a fast shout out to everybody that made this actually possible at work. So for my boss, Terry McPherson and John Matuska. And of course, we have Lori Berry in marketing and Sophia and Matt as well. They did an awesome job as well. And of course, on the traveler's expense account to get me out here, Cheryl, she's wonderful. Thank you, Cheryl, for thank you, everybody, for actually making this happen because it's going to be wonderful. People need to see the ECO. This is a wonderful product. I mean, we knocked 30% off of the smell that you typically get. Sorry about that. I'm a drummer, too, right?
Drum roll.
Right, exactly. So, but anyway, that the annoying smell that you get, that's called a VOC emission because there's VOC content and VOC emission. Well, we knocked the VOC emission out. I mean, we really, really knocked it out of the park. So it's like 30% less. So using this stuff indoors is much, much, much better now. You can subdue way more time. We've had people test it, and a lot of cities have even tested this stuff for us, and it's amazing what we had back. And, of course, I know myself, when green first came out, I was kind of skeptical. Wait till you see. In fact, if I come out to do training at your shop or out in your place, I will bring our product, our brand-new ECO, and we'll make the samples with the ECO, and then we'll test them at 750 to 850 PSI. after 14 days, and then you can see for yourself how strong it is. And of course, when we have it open, you can see how, of course, the smell is not intoxicating anymore. So with that said, I'm going to move along here really quickly. This right click, right?
Yep.
Wrong one. Let's try this again. It doesn't want to work on my end. I'm not going to hit that one either.
Here, maybe it's the range here.
Yeah.
Hit the right.
Sorry about that, people.
That's all right. No problem. Okay. We got it. A little technical difficulty here.
Anyway, as we're working on that, I got a question for a lot of people. It's this kind of amazing thing, too. Is how many people have ever, thank you, how many people have actually ever read the back of a solvent cement can? All right. A lot of people say, I have. Believe it or not, less than 1% of the people. I train real close to 1,000 people, give or take, 100 or two each year. And in our classes, nobody raises their hand. It's good, too, because I would pick on the people that, raise their hand. Because the first thing I would say is, okay, well, then what's the degree of the bevel supposed to be? And then that's when they look at me and say, bevel? What do you mean bevel? Well, people have no idea that you're supposed to bevel the pipe, all right?
And there's so many things that I know you're going to go through.
Yes.
Of what people should really do, plus also what product to choose, because there's all different ones that you make, and they're all for different purposes.
Mm-hmm.
People go to the hardware store, and they just pick out, it's solvent cement, so they pick it out, and they take it home, and that's all they do. And it's sometimes wrong. So I think we got the technical problem solved.
No, I think we got a range problem with the thing here. So just thumbs up to him for forward, thumbs down to the engineer for backwards.
Thanks, Frank. You're Robbie.
Sorry, you can't read those magazines now. You have to watch us with that finger.
You're gonna know how to solvent cement after this.
Yes.
That'd be perfect, right? Okay, how's that? Perfect. Actually, there you go.
Yeah.
Boy, that was really quick. There you go. All right. Anyway, what you guys are seeing right now really fast, this is the new ultra-low VOC Eco line. This is some of the products, actually, that we have, the 700, 705, 721, 711, 717, and, of course, the 750. The 750, you guys remember that, is the 750 hot weld. In fact, if you can advance one more really quickly, I'll show you. There you go. We are really pleased, of course, to let everybody know that we welcome Christie's into our family now. So Christie's Red Hot Blue Glue, and if you guys remember our 750 hot weld, it's pretty much the comparison. So it's both medium and it's both fast setting. So we picked up a lot of great, great people and a lot of wonderful products as well. So we're intensifying the line that we have from tools and just great products all over the place. So instead of just getting one place for your solvent cement needs, you can also get a major amount of tools for the job site as well.
Is there any specific designation to the part numbers, to the 7 series from Weldon? Because I'm pretty sure there's an interesting story.
Yes, in fact, I have a slide coming up pretty soon. What we actually did is most people on rollouts, when we have a product rollout, we want to get it out right away. Most people don't. I've worked for a lot of companies that have a lot of product rollouts. And it seems like it's never perfect right off the bat, right? We want to get it out there right away. Well, we used a name for it, which I think was a 905 ECO. But a lot of people got kind of confused on that. So what we did is we said, hey, guess what? We have 711. Why not 711 ECO? We have 705. Why not 705 ECO? We have 700. Why not 700 ECO? So people know this is the regular. And then, of course, this is the ultra-low VOC. Right. So, and of course, the 700 is the regular body. And then we have the 705 the 705 and the 705. That's medium anyway. Or heavy. I was looking at what he had here.
Sorry.
The 711, 711 and 717. That's a heavy body here. We also have primer. And that's the most wonderful thing as well, because the primer itself, of course, we know how nasty that stuff smells.
Yeah.
All right. This is at our P68 level. That's a major question people ask, because we have P70 and P68. They said, okay, well, what level of strength is this? It's at the P68 level, so it's actually very, very strong.
Now, most people who join pipes don't, maybe not the professionals, they have no idea what the primer is. They think it's like paint. You just put a thing on and it gets a second coat, but it doesn't really do anything.
You're
but it does.
You probably got a slide on that, don't you?
Oh, by far. And we're going to get to that. Okay. Yes, by far. People think you have to leave. Well, actually, your primer is actually supposed to be wet, too, when you put the cement on. I see a lot of people that are blowing under cement or under primer to get it to dry. I'm like, whoa, don't do that. Yeah. That's kind of not right. Anyway, what we do is I'm going to tie my hands behind my back. these are some of the things that we actually go over the agenda for the training. I'm going to give you guys an abbreviated one because, of course, we only have a little bit of time today. Yep. And I really don't want to talk too fast. Otherwise, you guys are going to have to replay it about 100 times. We go over the basic principles of solvent welding, the proper techniques for solvent welding, the importance of right-sized applicators, which is really major, especially when it's hot outside, set and cure times, solvent welding tips for hot and cold weather, causes of failed joints, repair, safety precautions, and then we do the hands-on demonstration. What we do is we have, this is actually per the B31.3, the ASME test. We have your guys and girls, of course. We have them make an 11-inch piece of PVC, and we have them cement one cap on one side, one cap on the other side. And after 14 days, of course, these samples are at our hydro lab in North Carolina, where our wonderful technical team is at. And they test them on a 14th day. And after they pass, which they pass, they only had out of 850 people, I think I had maybe five people maximum failed. And most of those guys were pretty much on the on their cell phones all the time, or the guys are like this. After 35 years, what are you going to teach me? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the class, they come up and they're going, I had no idea. But
Checked out of the hotel know-it-all, didn't they?
Exactly.
This is really a whole science behind it, because everybody thinks you just get this stuff, put it on, put the pipe together, and it works.
Yeah.
I shouldn't tell you that I did this a couple times years ago and thought it was great and put it in, and the next thing I see bubbling up out of the hole was the stuff that I didn't do a good good deal on it. I didn't do the beveling. I didn't do any of that. So, but you'll teach us that.
Shall we there?
Sure. And what we do actually is we actually get you guys your ASME B31.3 cards. So they're actually cards that you have that if there's a specification from the architect or from the project manager, they'll put that out there and say, guess what? When they have a B31.3 specification, that means only people that have taken a course for B31.3 and passed this test can be on that job site.
Is that pretty prevalent in the industry for like home builders or commercial builders? Or?
It's actually great for anybody to have, because figure this, if you're a contractor and you have guys that are B31.3 qualified, right, and the job's calling, if there's a specification for B31.3 for people to come, to be on the job site. Well, guess what? You're going to get the job, bidding on the job before the people that don't have anybody. Hmm. And because we've got a lot of times that we've had people call us up and said, we need you to get out here and train us, like now. I'm like, well, hold on, ever hear of a lead time? So we can't jump on a plane, although we would really love to. And in fact, I'll tell you what, it's one of the greatest things about welding. Sorry about that. Right. Don't worry about the table. I'm just going to hit the mic now. Pretty much, if there's ever an issue or there's a leak or there's a major issue and you guys have problems with it on the job site, we pride ourselves in getting out there within 72 hours. And typically, it's within 48 hours. I mean, we get out there pronto and really give you guys a hand. So that's one thing Weldon is really, really known for. And of course,
do any of the other companies offer something like that?
I don't think so. I know.
I've never heard of that before. So.
Yeah. Oh, we once. Trust me. Once my boss Terry or John Matuska, once they call and they say, hey, guess what? We have an issue. We're there. Wow. We're there to give you guys a hand, no matter where you're at, no matter what state, no matter what nook and cranny of the United States you're in.
We're there.
We're there. Right. Exactly.
Cool.
So, all right.
Great year, by the way.
For sure. Anyway, a little bit about Weldon, guys, really fast. Guys and girls, of course, I just keep saying that. We've been around for 63 years. We are the innovator, actually. We actually invented solvent cement before anybody else was even out there. All of our formulations are low VOC. Most of our products, meet the strict code and regulatory requirements of the NSF, the UPC, and the CSA. The CSA, of course, is for our brothers up north in Canada. UPC, of course, is the Uniform Plumbing Code. And NSF, everybody thinks it's for non-sufficient funds. And I'm like, that's the red stamp. Yeah. This is the good one. This is the NSF. The NSF can go a few ways. I've heard it said a few ways. It's either national sanitary or national safety. And then the F is foundation and federation. But it means the same thing, potable water. Right. All right? If you're going to have a source of water anything that's going to go from that source of water to hit your mouth anyway, even if it's going to go in a food product, needs to be NSF checked all the way through that process. So now, for some reason, God forbid, if you guys go home and you guys have a leak inside your faucet, you take the stem out and you go to, like, say, Home Depot or whatever, you find the stem, look on the package, you're going to see that NSF. Hmm. If it's not, I wouldn't buy it, of course. Because you want to make sure that that thing is checked, that it's checked for, of course, your safety, right? You don't want to be drinking, you know, water that is going over things that can harm you, right? And our products also, last but not least, they meet the strict performance standards of the ASTM. The ASTM, what they do is they make step-by-step procedures on how to do everything. And that's why we have the ASTM D2855. That is actually the step-by-step process that we're going to learn right now.
Okay.
Wonderful. About the seminar. The seminar is designed to train all users in the proper techniques to solvent welding. The participation typically minimizes field failures when proper techniques are followed. And I always say this, if you follow the proper techniques, it shouldn't say minimize field failures. It should say will minimize field failures, right? Because, of course, if you follow the proper techniques, that's guess what? Right. There's no way it's going to fail. Anyway, the main cause of field failures is due to lack of knowledge. Just like I was mentioning earlier, how many people are actually reading the back of the can? Right. When most people learn how to put a pipe together, they watch somebody else. I watched my grandfather. He was in the kitchen. He put the pipe underneath the sink. Yep. He took the pipe, put the purple primer on, put the cement on, put it together, twisted, quarter turn, what have you, right? Yeah. And put it together, held it together, and boom, we went on to the next one. That's not even close to how this is supposed to happen. Not even close. So
the only thing I see people in the stores doing is they look for the solvent cement, and they pick a jar at the cost they want to pay for it without knowing what it really does, and they look at how much it costs, and that's all they read. They don't read anything on here.
Yes,
I never see them read anything.
That's exactly, and now that's what we're actually getting to, too, is the selection guide, right? Of course, first of all, I'm sure most people know what a viscosity is in the solvent cement field. We have regular, medium, heavy, and extra heavy. Regular is almost like water, super, super thin. Then it starts to get thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. And when it gets up to extra heavy, it's like tomato paste thickness. So most people know what tomato paste is, unless you eat at McDonald's every night or something, right? That's not in college anymore, go figure, right? So you guys can obviously see on the screen right now, if you guys are lucky enough to be watching us, of course you can see that it says that regular bodies for pipes up to 4 inches, medium up to 6 inches, heavy body up to 12, and extra heavy body up to 30 inches.
Now, 30 inches pipe, wow.
Yeah.
It's a big pipe.
That's pretty big. So I don't know if you guys can see me here. I have actually a half inch pipe and a half inch fitting. If you put that pipe and that fitting together, you have no room in here. I mean, there's nothing whatsoever, right? So something like this, of course, you would use a regular body cement, something that's like a water consistency, right? There's no need on taking a solvent cement. This is like thick, like tomato paste, and putting that in here, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of like weird. Well, here's something about PVC and PVC pipe. As the size of the pipe graduates and the size of the fitting graduate, so does the size of the crack. So if this is 2 inch right here, take the 2 inch. You can hear that now.
Yep.
Now we have a little bit of play in there, right? Yeah. We get to 4 inches, it gets bigger, 6 inches, 8 inches. So obviously, the bigger the pipe, the bigger the crack. The bigger the crack, the heavier the cement you're going to need.
Oh.
Okay, so that's one way. One thing to also remember, of course.
Okay.
Oh, for FCC purposes, sorry, we have to do a 10-second ID. Part of the FCC law, so we don't get arrested.
Unless you're asking for my legal ID.
KCAA Loma Linda, 1050 AM, K292 FQ Riverside, and K293 CF Moreno Valley.
Okay, we're legal. Thanks. We're not going to jail, federal prison. Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's a legal ID. I'm like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah, it's.
I was born here.
Yeah, it's a regulation we got to stick to. So, sorry about that. Usually we go to commercial and do, but we're not doing a commercial tonight because we want to go through this whole presentation.
Exactly, and we're gonna get through this. I know last time we were kind of shy because, of course, you guys had a lot of questions and we had a lot of people learned a lot of things. In fact, I think if I'm correct, last time. The IA actually had CEUs on this.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
did. Yeah.
So, yes, which is also possible as well. We can get you guys your CEUs as well for this course. So,
oh, okay, great.
So it's another reason to actually have us out. And I think the number one reason is to check out the new product.
Absolutely.
That's going to definitely help you guys big time. So.
Next slide.
Yes, please. Okay, you guys can see here, this is our product selection guide. On one side, you guys can see, in fact, this is also, we have a it's like a product guide here, but it's also online, if I'm correct, on our website, waldon.com. But here, if you can take a look at one side, you're going to see the numbers from half inch all the way up to 30. And then on the top, you can see it says PVC and CPVC. Well, what you want to do is this. You want to, of course, look at the size of the pipe you're using. Say if we're using 4-inch CPVC, right? So you bring your finger down to the 4-inch, then bring it over to the CPVC area, and you can see that it says that there's three different kinds of solvent cement we can use for the CPVC 4-inch. Well, why is it three? Why not just one? I mean, you go to Home Depot, right? And you grab the one that has, you know, the solvent cement and the primer together, right?
Yep.
Yes, well, what's happening inside that pipe is very, very important. What's happening outside of that pipe is even more important. All right, typically the people inside construction or in the water facilities, right? A water distribution water remanufacturing.
Right? Systems, yeah.
Exactly, right. Well, most of those processes actually have like sodium hypochlorites in them. They have chlorines in them. A lot of acids. Well, acids will actually take and melt that solid cement from the inside out of the pipe.
Oh.
All right. So you got to be very, very careful. If you're going to have any kind of chemicals on the inside, you want to get a solvent cement that is, of course, solvent resistant. Okay.
Does this apply to what they call PEX pipe?
Pretty much.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. See, I know something.
Yeah,
no, that's stuff that's cross-linked.
Yeah, polyethylene cross-linked.
Yes.
PEX. So.
Chris knows something, too.
somewhat about it.
Yes.
So anyway, what's going on outside that pipe is, like I said, even more important. What's the weather like outside, okay? If it's super, super hot outside, in fact, let's take a look at this. You know, what happens when you take a pipe, and I'm sure everybody out there has put pipe together before, mostly guys anyway, you take that primer and you put that primer on the pipe, right? And it's super hot outside, and it's like 95 degrees, and the wind's blowing 35 miles an hour, Santa Ana style, right?
Right.
And you're taking that primer, and you put that primer on, and as you're putting the primer on, you turn around and sneeze, and you look back. What happened to the primer?
Dried.
It's dry. And the reason for that is it's a solvent, all right? All solvents do two things. All solvents melt plastic, just at different rates, all right? Different rates of how they're going to melt the plastic. And then it evaporates. All solvents evaporate. So they melt plastic and evaporate, melt plastic and evaporate, melt plastic and evaporate. It's a big thing to know, actually, when you're actually doing this. So when it's hotter outside, all solvents evaporate faster. All right? Gasoline is a solvent.
Right.
If you were to take a cup of gasoline and throw it on a hot piece of concrete on your driveway.
Dries up.
When it's, yes, exactly. Go and get something to drink, come back, it's going to be gone. Right? When it's like 95 degrees out, right? Do that when it's like 38 degrees outside, it's still going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be there for quite a while, actually, okay? So that's pretty much the same kind of thing here. So, of course, when it's hot outside, what we want to do is we want to find a thicker solvent cement that's going to, of course, buy us some more time, something that's going to have, a longer set time to it. It's going to buy us some time to put the pieces together, mm-hmm. All right? So you want to make sure that you have all these things in focus, I'm sorry. So what we're going to do then is go ahead to the next page, please. I forgot one. Anyway, could you go back and forth? Go one more up, please.
Back.
Yeah, because I'm missing. All right, now try one more this way. Okay, well, I guess I think I put one to sleep. But here's our new product. Right, here's the new product guide anyway. We actually have a product guide for our new Eco series as well. So you guys can see, obviously, that it has our regular products. And then, of course, they have the Eco products as well. So the Eco is all set up for you guys. I just took a picture of this just today, and I put it out here. So you guys have a general idea of actually what it looks like.
Is different states going to demand the ECO product and ban the other ones?
I am sure down the line. Well, I should say I am certain, because what happens is this. If everybody knows California, we have the our southern coast, the AS, what is it, SAQMD? I could never have that.
Air quality.
Right, the air quality management
A-Q-M-D.
District, right? Thank you. I can never think about it.
A-Q-M-D.
So, yes, so the air quality management district, once they... Of course, they like set the precedence for the United States. Once they start going low, and in fact, in 2023, the VOC standard levels are going down.
Mm.
They're going to go down. Here's the great thing about Weldon. We already...
You're there.
Yeah, we're there. We're actually the only ones that are actually below the standard that they're going to be going for at 2023. So guess what? If you get this stuff on your job sites now and get familiarized with it now, you're going to be one step ahead of everybody else. And, of course, you're going to be a lot healthier, right? So it's going to be wonderful. All right, next page, please. All right, well, these are two of those. There's two of those three. You know how we said that there's three cements we could use for the 4XT PVC? Well, if you take a look at the similarities and the differences of these, see how it says industrial grade. They're both industrial grade. The 724 there says that it's chemical resistant. The 729 says, of course, on the bottom there, says maybe used for chemical applications, but it doesn't really say anything about being chemical resistant. So you want to be kind of leery on that and find out do a little bit more research on see exactly what that means. All right, now take a look at the maximum pipe size. All right, we're working with 4-inch PVC, like I was mentioning, right? But it says 12 inch and 24 there, so that's definitely got the right size on there. On the color, you don't have to worry about that. And the industry listings, of course, has the NSF. You can see that the NSF there is the stamp for the 724. All right. And of course, it's not, though, for the 729. So you want to, of course, be very, very careful again. So you want to do your homework when you're picking what solvent cement you need. There's a bunch of factors in there, right? You want to make sure, you know, what weather you're working in. What's the humidity outside, right? In fact, we have a chart that's going to show you exactly how much time you have to leave it sit before you can start it up. That's why I said have your cameras ready so you can take pictures of this stuff as we go along.
They can call into your technical support to help you anytime, right?
Yes, they can call into our technical support, our 1-800 number. I think it should be coming up in a little bit. But we have a 1-800 number that goes to the East Coast and to the West Coast. We have Beverly on the West Coast, and we have Van, Steven, Joe, and Terry out on, and Jack. Don't forget Jack. Jack Roach out there. One of the best engineers, I could say, definitely in the piping industry. So thanks, Jack, for that. Anyway, we can go on to the next one here. The new easier product name format, really quickly. You can see, obviously, I think some of these things got jumbled just around a little bit, but I'll get past that. You can obviously see on the screen now, you can see how we have 711 ECO and then the 711. And then we have the 717 and then the 717. Wow, I didn't know you could do that. Thank you. Did you do that, Chris?
Nope.
Okay, you did it.
Our engineer, Frank, did it.
Frank is awesome. I'm telling you, he rocks.
Yes, he does.
So obviously, you guys can see.
Now we've got to pay him a raise.
This is what you're going to see, of course. You're going to see, of course, we put them next to each other so you can see the differences on them, right, with the eco. There's pretty much none, except for, of course, being much healthier, of course, and having the one-third less VOC emissions in your face. And I think that's a really, really wonderful thing. So, okay, we move on, please.
You can actually eco, blow it up a little more. That's fine.
Yeah, and here's the Eco Primer. I figured I would put that on there as well. I took a picture of this because I was trying to do, trying to copy and paste some of these things, and they were not doing it because we have a PDF of the well-done product guide, but on the computer, you can't copy and paste. Oh. So I took pictures of them with my cell phone just for this. Just for this show right here, and emailed them to myself so I could actually take it back, screenshot them, and then put them here so you guys can see them.
Yeah,
so I put a little bit more effort into it for you guys today.
We appreciate
So you guys can see, of course, the Eco Primer, right? It's P68, and then, of course, the P70 is a little bit stronger on the bottom. P70, to me, is actually the strongest primer on the market. That stuff right there is definitely the stuff that you want to use on CPVC and definitely the stuff you want to use when it's very, very cold outside. Primers definitely going to help. So, especially the more heavy primers, P70. Okay, go ahead, Frank. Thanks. All right, wonderful. All right, I always call this stop and think time. Right? Like I said, it's an abbreviated one. I always ask people if primer is a cleaner. All right, I get a lot of yes and no's and yeses with this kind of stuff. But really quickly, it's not a cleaner because if you were to take a can of clean primer and you take your dirty pipe, take that clean primer, take all that dirt off of here, where are you putting it? Right back in a can, you're contaminating that. So you're going to do this 5, 6, 7, 8 times. That garbage is going to have to come out of there one time, and you're not going to know where you're going to put it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not a cleaner, right? And then we ask people, why is it purple? I'll get back up. The reason it's purple is so that the inspectors can see it.
That you do. Oh.
We have clear and we have purple, okay? I'm looking at the time, so I want to speed this up a little bit.
You're fine.
Right? And then this is actually a joke. This is my retirement plan. I said, is there anybody that has any ideas up there how to clean up purple primer spill? There is none. Everybody says you can take clear and pour it on and dilute it down. Who has clear laying around when you're working with purple? By the time you get that, all right, you can actually, if you spill this stuff on concrete, you can take it, sandblast it, power wash it, and restain it. When it gets hot and humid out, it's going to come up through the bottom of the concrete. I guarantee you see it happen.
So you should bring rags.
Exactly. So now let's talk about exactly what primer actually does. Okay, we have a pipe here. What shape is that pipe?
Well, to me, it looks round.
Very good. It's like second grade stuff, right? Now we have a fitting. What shape is that fitting?
Oh, it's round.
That looks round to me, too.
All right. Well, guess what? That's it's where not, everybody's wrong.
It's oval.
Yes. No, not oval. I almost.
Egg shaped?
No. Better not be egg shaped. We'll be in big trouble then. It's conical. Can you go on to the next page? I'll show you guys why. There you go. Here's another wonderful picture, right? It's wider on the outside, tighter on the inside. I'll give you my best YMCA. It's just like this, okay? Yes. Did you guys ever wonder when you take a pipe and put a pipe into the fitting and never goes down to the pipe stop?
Yeah. Correct.
It's not supposed to. In America, we have what they call interference fit piping. This pipe is supposed to come 1/3 to 2/3 of the way in to the pipe on dry fit. It's not supposed to go down to the bottom.
Right.
All right?
And then you do your thing afterwards to move it down further.
Well, most people say use a black rubber mallet, but now we want to get this pipe. Here's my best YMCA right here, right? We want to get this pipe all the way down to the bottom. It's going to come up. It's going to stop right here, right? Well, now we want to get that pipe all the way down to the bottom of the pipe stop. So how are we going to do that?
Grease it up.
Close enough. Well, how about if we melt the outside of the pipe and melt the inside of the fitting? Well, what melts plastic? I just mentioned
primer.
It, right? Primer, because primer's a solvent, right?
Primer's a solvent.
Exactly. So we're going to actually take primer. We're going to melt the outside of the pipe and melt the inside of the fitting, right? So we have melted plastic on the outside, melted plastic on the inside, right? What happens is this. As this pipe comes in, the pipe's going to be it's going to be nice and slippery. It's going to slide all the way down to the bottom.
How much, what percentage, all kidding aside here, and be serious. Mm-hmm. I'll be serious for a minute. How much percentage, once you put that on, does that really melt it?
Percentage doesn't melt it.
Well, you're making it so it goes down further,
right?
And so you're putting that stuff on, and then it has to slip
just
down.
Just the surface,
yeah.
Right. Well, just the surface. In fact, it depends on how hot it is as well, how cold it is when you're working as well. When you're using primer, when it's real cold, you got to figure PVC starts to melt at 140 degrees. CPVC at 180. All right. If you're primering and say it's 95 degrees outside, if this pipe was laying on a hot asphalt, it could be 20 to 30 degrees hotter.
Mm-hmm.
Just from ambient temperature.
Right.
So 95 degrees and 30, that's 125. That's 15 degrees off of the melting pipe, a melting temperature of the pipe. Okay, so what you actually want to do, I mean, when you touch that thing with primer, it's almost going to start melting away right away.
Yes.
Right. But now if you do the opposite thing when it's really cold outside, all right, what's going to happen then? Guess what? You're going to have to keep working with it because that pipe is like, say, 30 degrees. You need it to get up to 140, right?
Right.
So anyway, so obviously, but here's the one thing I do want to show you guys, right? Watch what happens. Now, this is a major point right here. Huge point, all right? As this pipe, like I said, as we melted the outside, melted the inside, that pipe comes in, slides back down. We missed something here. What's going on here? The melted plastic from the outside of the pipe and the melted plastic from the inside of the fitting, they're doing what when I put them together? They're blending together.
Melding together, yeah.
Exactly, right? They're emulsifying together. They're marrying themselves together. So now those two melted plastics have now blended themselves together.
You get more bond.
What's going to be next? Guess what? Evaporation. Once the evaporation happens, what are you going to be left with here?
A seal.
One solid piece. Mm. You just took the bottom 1/3 of this pipe, melted it, took the inside of that fitting, slid this down, they blended together, melted together, evaporation happens, you got one solid piece. So if you primer the right way, there's zero chance on getting a leak.
Awesome.
All right, so the bottom 1/3, of your fitting, you can see right where this pipe is supposed to stop at. The bottom 1/3 does 80% of the entire weld.
Now, when you go,
that's how important primary etching is.
When they go get their certification cards,
yes,
they dissect this to see if they did that correctly.
Only if they fail. If they fail, I call it the CSI lab out there. They will definitely let you know. In fact, the people that use our products, in case they ever have an issue as well for a failure or something like that, we also do this for free. We actually take it and we can CSI it and find out exactly why your pipe did fail. So it's actually a good service.
In your lab, yeah.
Yes, it's at our CSI lab in North Carolina. All right. So anyway, you can keep going on. All right. Anyway, really quickly, I don't know if you guys can see me or not, but I really wanted to show people one thing really quickly. When you guys primer, right? You see people, they take primer, they go like this with the primer. They paint it on here. They paint it on the inside. That's the wrong way to do it. You want to melt the outside and melt the inside. You want to take that primer. Take that dauber as close as you can, wearing a glove, of course, right? Take it and aggressively scrub it in. As you're scrubbing that primer in, you're going to start feeling that dauber is going to start to drag on you because, of course, the inside's starting to get, melted,
right.
And the dauber, the fibers here are starting to stick on a hot melted plastic, right? Same thing with the pipe. You want to do that. Exactly, right? want to make sure that you get that on there and scrub it in really good, of course, right? Until, of course, you can feel the fibers. Now, on the ASTM D2855 states that you need to do this two times to the fitting. Right? I think the reason for that is just because they want you to keep it wet. All right? Because what happens is this. Once you take all the time to get this fitting done, as you're getting the pipe done, that one's drying up. And yeah. You got to make sure the primer's wet. So you want to jump back to this one again. And just give it like a little splash down, right?
That's for all sizes of pipe, right?
Correct. Correct. So, all right. Anyway, can you go back one?
Back one?
Yeah, please. Thanks. Wonderful. Okay, if you guys can see at the bottom, right where it says tighter on the inside, all right, that area, like I said, that area does 80%. Now, if that bottom percent right there does 80%, the bottom one-third right there, right, what happens if that pipe's not cut straight? Look at the pipe underneath it.
Yeah.
Look at the 80%. That 80% area, now you're starting to lose how much of the percentage of that 80%. You want to get as much as that 80%. If you got an 80% raise, that's a big number, right? Well, this is a big number that you guys are going to need to. This is so important. It's crazy, right? So what I did actually at my house is I did this. I took my compound miter saw, right, because it has a bench on there, and I gave it a nice straight cut. So I have a nice straight cut on a pipe. I took the same pipe and then go ahead on to the next one. What I did is, thank you, right, I used the Sawzall. Now, a Sawzall, you guys know that, of course, it's not for cutting straight lines. No. It's used for ripping things up and getting things done, right?
Destroying stuff.
Exactly, destroying things, right? So anyway, what I did is, of course, I made a line. And I bring all these samples out as well. Probably the only knucklehead that actually brings stuff like this with me on a plane, right? I mean, got this stuff inside your luggage. You're getting questioned a lot, trust me.
Well, those are going to put electronics with it. They're happy, I'm sure.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, that's why we always ask the people that are making the samples, because they almost look like pipe bombs, right? We always ask them to send them to the East Coast for us, because can you imagine me getting on, you know, with 25 of these things inside my luggage?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I'd never get home, right? So anyway, you want to make sure, people, that your pipe is cut as straight as humanly possible, okay? Sawzalls aren't really going to cut it. Use something like a saw that can cut nice and straight. In fact, the Reprocedure pipe cutters that you do, like the copper pipe with, they actually have those. I have one that's up to 6 inches, okay? And it actually has a blade that's actually made just for cutting PVC pipe.
I noticed on the ones that I bought, these red ones that you squeeze, you put the pipe in and squeeze, they don't always cut straight.
I don't like those either, because if you take a look at what happens when you get halfway through the pipe, it starts to veer off.
Yes.
It starts to get like a torque on it, and the torque starts to pull off on it. So you want to make sure they have something that can really go straight. Okay, because I'm looking at the time here, so I want to make sure. Anyway, one other thing really quickly. Have you ever taken a pipe and you put primer on, you put the cement on, you push the pipe inside the fitting, hold it together for as long as you think you should, right? Yeah. Let go, and it wasn't. What happens? Yes, it pops out. Now you guys know why. Because of this.
Yeah.
At the bottom, it's trying to push it out, and as everything's slippery as you put that pipe in, if you don't hold it in long enough, that pipe's trying to get pushed back out of there, right? So what I did is I actually took this sample right here, all right? That's actually what you guys are seeing right now on the screen. I pushed this together for 15 seconds. Look at the 80% on here. You can see the pipe stop, and then you can see the pipe underneath it. This pipe is backing out of that entire 80%.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you push it in. I have what they call a rule of hand. If you can fit it in your hand, 30 seconds. Anything bigger than this, add another 30 seconds, so 1 minute, right? So if you hold it here, 30 seconds. Anything bigger, 1 minute. So figure 3 inches, 4 inches. You want to wait 1 minute. Hold it in there for 1 minute. Don't cheat either. People like to cheat on this one. Like, hold on, you just spent all this time getting and prepping this thing together. What's a couple more seconds?
Well, these are smaller pipes. So you had mentioned earlier the 30-inch pipes. What do you do for that? Because that's got to be... How do you hold that?
We get really, really big people. Actually, we have what they call pipe pullers for that. We actually rent them out as well, and they're also for sale at Weldon. They have them to actually, they're like come along. It's kind of, they're done by gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity pulls, so they have like they have not chains, but they have wires on them. And they're set up. Of course, our engineers, again, did a wonderful job on making this thing. So, but anyway, you can obviously see here that the weld, on this page right here, you can see that the weld is nice and tight on the inside here. So we just actually took the primer and welded that pipe to that fitting right inside that area. Now we're going to do the fill. The fill, of course, we're going to use solvent cement for, right? So we can go on to the next one.
Now, what do you do? I see these products. Sorry to interrupt. There's so much things when you think about this and go in depth. So somebody has a broken pipe, and now I see these companies that sell these clamshell devices that go on top of it. How does that seal? Do they use this, the solvent cement, or they do it by mechanically tightened it?
I've seen both ways. And to me, it's like, I guess the whatever, a few things. Being a contractor, also, I've been a contractor for many, 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 many years from Chicago for 47 years. I'm not a contractor for 47 years, for 18 of those 47 years, but I've seen it.
What we call doing,
I'm not that old, doing the best you can with what we have, right? When you're in the field, whatever you have, you're limited to, right? A lot of people have certain set ways that they say, guess what, I get the best result this way.
Okay.
Right? And that's why I'm telling you, you got to make sure that you primer the pipe, primer it correctly, right? Anyway, because I'm looking at the time, I want to run through this really quickly. All right. What I want you guys to do, of course, when you guys are cementing, there's the right way to cement. We'll get out of this one right here. I just want to make sure that you guys know the right way to solvent cement. People think that, of course, because you're going to solvent cement the pipe into the fitting, because you put a lot of solvent cement in the fitting. You don't want to do that. Why? Because if you take a lot of solvent cement and put a boatload of solvent cement in here, take the pipe and push the pipe in, you're pushing the solvent cement to the other side. All right, and if we're running pipe, we're going to take a boatload of solvent cement, put it here, put another pipe in, and we're going to push it to the center. Mm. So if you take a look at that pipe, you have flow restriction. Mm-hmm. You took this 2-inch pipe and knocked it down about an inch and a half. Mm. So you're going to have issues with pressure. You guys going to have a whole bunch of issues with stuff coming through the pipe that gets locked up, or things that's going to get, that's supposed to go through the pipe is going to get stopped, right?
How many, since you were a contractor, how many contractors do you think understand this? As you said, people just take it, wipe it on, put it together, and they walk away. Is it getting more? I know you said there's some regulations out that the guys who put the plans together call it, the architects they call for. Yeah. But what percentage, if you had a guess, of the current landscapers that you know, or you run into, really know how to do this correctly? It's okay to say what you
seriously. I'm going to say pretty much, because nobody raised the cans, how about nobody? Mm. I have not had one class at all and I always ask this question at the very end of the class. I say straight out, I'm like, so how many people here have learned something today? And everybody, by the end of this class, everybody is amazed.
Put their hands up.
All right, big, big time. Right, well, with the solvent cement, this is what you want to do. This is how you want to put the solvent cement on. All right, you don't want to put a boatload on the inside here, right? You want to go light to medium. You already got the primer inside here. It's already melting the pipe, right? So that's all you need is a light to medium coat on the inside, just the covering. Where you want to put it is on the pipe. It's very important to put a lot on that pipe. Two thick coats, in fact. So you want to start off with your pipe, put a nice thick coat on here, right? Put a nice thick coat on that pipe. Come to the fitting, go light to medium, and then come back and put another thick
on the pipe.
On the pipe, exactly. Then you take the pipe and, of course, go straight in with the pipe. Now, if you go straight in with that pipe, all right, and you have those two coats on the outside of the pipe, one thin on the inside, you're going to push that pipe in, and you're going to end up with a bead that goes all the way around that pipe right here, right? If you have that, that's excellent. Wonderful. Great job. That's exactly what you want.
I see people put that on afterwards just because they feel safe. They put solvents. Is that the proper thing to do? Or
no.
Okay.
It's pretty much a waste of time is actually what that is. Okay. The same with people asking me about putting solvent cement on a lip here as well. I'm like, well, what's that going to do?
And you preconditioned. That's preconditioned, right? You beveled that.
Yes, this I already have beveled.
And there's a special tool for that?
Yes, in fact, for there. There's a lot of different kinds of tools. There's actually, you could use a file. You can use a file to bevel. You can use, we actually have one that looks like a cone, right? My favorite is called a DEB4. This is one of my favorite tools right here. This actually takes a pipe. It's got a blade right here, and it's actually tilted. It's tilted 10 to 15 degrees, which is, of course, the standard what the bevel is supposed to be at, right? So, I don't know if you guys can see on here, but there's 1 3/4, 2 inches, 3 inches, 3.5, and 4 inches. So one tool actually goes pretty much does all of them. There's a blade right here. You find 2 inches, find a slot, it snaps on. As you turn it, a ribbon comes out like a pencil sharpener, and voila, you're done within, I don't know, 5-10 seconds.
Yeah.
That's one of the best tools I have in my shed. That's for sure, guaranteed.
They don't sell. I never saw that at a store.
I'm not going to say where I got this from what exactly what store, because I'm, you know, I'm not here to promote.
No. But I mean, but there's most. I go to a big box store. I won't name those names either. I never see tools like that.
It's I'll tell you what, this is probably the best tool. Like I said, anyway, in fact, I gotta find out from because obviously now that we have Christie's, right? I know the Christie's, we have a plethora of different kind of tools. This is now going to be, of course, available Great. To all of our customers as well. I got to see if we actually have this in that, because, I mean, I opened it up. I looked at the amount. I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's like looking at a candy store. If you're into tools like I am, you're like, wow, look at that. And I was kind of worried, yeah, do I look like the kind of tool person or what? But, yes, I love tools. Go figure.
Yeah, move ahead.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, let's move ahead. So at least you guys know how the primer, you guys know how to cement, right? So if you flip through, because we got 5 minutes, right? Yep. We could just keep going on. The daubers, I want to make sure that the daubers are at least half the size of the diameter of the pipe, okay? Yes.
So you just don't go by anyone. You need a
exactly.
The right one. That's a big piece of
exactly.
pipe there for you, Rob.
And my biggest thing is this. We want to make sure that everything keeps wet. Now, if you go back one really quickly, you're going to see, right? You can see the one more before that. My bad. There you go. That's called a super swab right there. You can see, obviously, that it actually extends, right? You can see how long it is. That's for doing pipes that are 4 inches or larger, all right? It actually, I don't have one here, but it actually comes out. It's made for doing quarts and gallons, and it's actually threaded on the inside of that handle to do the small mouth and the big mouth, okay. right? Yeah. So, and the greatest thing about that is you don't have to, you can actually buy the swabs with the sticks on them. I think they sell them in 4-pack, so you can keep the handle. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. So okay, so we could go on. There you go. All right. So material preparation really quickly. Cut the pipe as square as you possibly can. Right. Go on to the next one, please. Yeah. Otherwise, you're gonna get that. So you don't want that. Make sure the pipe's cut straight. Right. Make sure we bevel. Why do we need to bevel? Right. You guys know why. Look at this right here. This is major important. You guys can see the pipe. Look at the pipe step to the left-hand side. All right. Look at the pipe coming in. See the bevel right there? If we didn't bevel, there's going to be a straight edge there.
Yeah.
All right. That straight edge is going to make it 90 degree when it hits that flat surface. So that means it doesn't matter how much. Even if you put light to medium on the inside of that fitting, that pipe is going to scrape and push all that solvent cement to the other side. That's all right. Now that you guys saw that bevel on there, right? As you're pushing the pipe in, that bevel is actually forcing that solvent cement down onto the pipe, all right? And as soon as that, exactly. So as soon as that solvent cement gets up to that tight spot, it gets all sent off. Sorry, it sends all the solvent cement to the back. I'm sorry, you're looking at the timer. All right. So obviously we want to clean it next. So we got the pipe cut. We got the pipe beveled. We're going to clean the pipe. Wipe it off. Make sure it's clean. Next thing, dry fit. Make sure you have interference fit. If you don't have interference fit, find out why. All right. Last thing to do, well, actually, what you want to do before that, before we get to this part, we want to mark our pipes to make sure that the pipes don't back out.
Yeah. Frank, can you reduce the picture so we can see the words on that so the people who are watching can actually see the verbiage beyond?
Okay, wonderful. There you go. Right. So actually, this is the steps that we were just talking about, right? Aggressively work the primer, right? Put on the fitting, put it on the pipe, put on the fitting again. Here's your solvent cement, right? Put it on the pipe, put it in the fitting, light to medium, put it on the pipe again, right? Very good. Of course, put the pipe in, twist a quarter turn if you guys can. It's not really imperative. That only just makes a smooth, it helps smooth the solvent cement out. Really doesn't have anything to do with the strength of or the bond of the pipe, right?
4 inch and under, hold for 30 seconds.
Exactly, right. Hold it for 30 seconds, otherwise you don't want that, right? Okay, keep going. Wonderful. You guys are going to end up with a bead on the outside there, right? Once you guys push that pipe in, wipe that bead off. And once that bead is wiped off there, of course, it's going to allow the solvents to what? Evaporate quicker. So the faster you have the evaporation, the faster you can start up your project, right? So you want that stuff. This right here, if you guys have your telephone, take a picture of this right here, and you guys can take a look at it later. This is a set and cure times, all right? Set time is how long you have to wait till you can put another project or another piece on your project, right? The next one right there is cure time. Very simple. It's how long you have to wait until you can start your project up. Super simple. All right. So there you go. Really quickly, for more information, you guys can take this, take a snapshot, give me a call at that number there, 815-671-3932. And, of course, Amanda Grabowski at welldone.com, and we'll get you situated and get you guys set up.
Well, I'll tell you, I know your classes last for hours instead of the quick hour that you did here, and we appreciate you getting that all in.
It's about 2 hours with the sample making, so it's a pretty good class.
That's good. Well, we do appreciate you coming back and doing this, because I tell you, every time you come, I learn more stuff, and hopefully our audience does.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you all for watching.
Yep, and the most important thing that we want to tell everybody in the world is
think blue.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week, and we have a special coming on with some turkey farmers.
By the way, thanks, Sherlock. Surely
Thanksgiving.
Locke is like the
best. Catch you later, people. Have a good evening.
It's time for NBC Radio News on KCAA Loma Linda, brought to you by Green Kong Dispensary, the Inland Empire's finest curated medical and recreational dispensary. Google greenkong.com.